so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
I'm just praying freedom over the people in this house, amen. Freedom, freedom, freedom in Jesus' name. If there's something in your life that's been holding you back, that's been nagging at you, that's been chained, like been holding you down, chains on your life, I want you to lift up your hands right now, because I'm praying for freedom in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands right now. Heavenly Father, we are free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. God, we rebuke anything that's coming against us, anything that wants to hold us down, hold us back, keep us stuck in the grave that we already ran out of, God. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that in this moment, this holy moment in your house, in your presence, that all those things of the world would grow dim, fade away, God, so we can spend this time with you being reminded of your goodness, reminded of our freedom, ministered to, encouraged, set up to live the week that you designed for us this week. God, we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we give the Lord one more shout of praise in this place? I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48 before you take your seats. If you're new here, by the way, my name is Jesse. Welcome to church. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm glad you're here. We're all glad you're here. We've got a gift for you after the service. And whether you've come, 10 times or one time, if you haven't got that free gift, we want to give it to you today. So please go and grab that after the service out there in the lobby. Pastor Connor will be up here later on to talk a little bit more about that. But I really am glad you're here. Also, if you're new, just know we're one of those hollerback churches, all right? We're one of those churches where we yell at the preacher, all right? And because we didn't come here just to see some dude on stage with glasses from the 50s talk about the Bible, we came to church to participate in the Word of God, amen? And so we're going to read this together, or I'm going to read it, sorry, but we're in this together, amen? And are you with me? You want to hear from God today? Awesome. Today's message is going to bless you, by the way. I know it's going to bless you. I know it's going to bless you. Now, my wife has told me beforehand that I don't get to yell as much in the message today, that I got to calm down because my voice was a bit funky last night, right? But I know that it's not my voice that brings the anointing, amen? It's the Word of God. And so we're going to do this together. You ready? Awesome. I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Another way that that's translated is, you have heard the written law, love your neighbor, and it's accompanied unwritten law, hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That sounds fun, doesn't it? Already some of y'all are like, hey, I came here for a love month sermon. I didn't come here for any of this love your enemies garbage. Come on, right? Like, hey, bear with me, all right? But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, or children of the light. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Aren't even tax collectors doing that? Or doesn't even the IRS love you when you love them? Come on, right? Like, aren't they doing that? And if you only greet your own people, what are you doing more than anyone else? Even pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Man, today we get to preach on everybody's least favorite topic in the middle of Love Month. Come on, touch your neighbor, say, you gotta love your enemies. And take your seats. I know right now people are freaking out in this place because already I've only read the verse and you're already thinking of the people that you know God's about to speak to you about, right? Like there's a list formulating in your mind right now, isn't there? Before I get on with the message, I want to set up something that Jesus has done here. Jesus actually freaked everybody out in this sermon, all right? This whole sermon was a freak out moment for everybody that was there. So I want to set up, tell you a story. When I was 13, my school was selling computers, used computers. They're about 2 years old and we could buy one for about $800. Now I know some of y'all in here and you're like, you could buy a used computer for $800. That sounds like the price of a new computer now, right? Well, it was a lot more expensive back then, right? So my brother Joel and I, we got super excited. We're like, we are gonna get a computer. Come on. The first computer in the history of the Newman family is coming to our house. We went home and told Dad about these computers and we asked him if he'd mind us having some of that there technology in our house, right? And he said, absolutely, you can get a computer. Now, we were so excited. See, it was a fine specimen of a machine, right? Like, you have no idea how good this computer was. It was the bee's knees of computers. It had an 8-inch floppy disk drive. And they were called floppy disks because they were floppy, right? Literally, they were floppy. But that's, here's the thing, though. Our computer was the bee's knees. It also had a 3.5-inch disk drive in there as well. Like, we were fancy at Marupna Secondary College in Victoria, Australia, right? We were fancy. But here's the cool thing. It also had the latest software, Windows 3. Not 3.1, which is Windows 3, right? And some of y'all got accustomed to turning on your computer and the operating system starts up, you know? Like now we can run Windows, it just starts up. And that's not how it happened with my first computer. When we turned it on, it just went straight to DOS. And some of y'all don't even know what that is. That's a black screen with green or white letters that you type on the screen. And to get Windows to run on our fine specimen of a machine, I had to type the letters win.exe, enter, and then it would load up. And 3 minutes later, we could... No, that's a lie. 10 minutes later, we could start using Windows, right? Like, it was a lot slower back then, right? Like, now you buy an iPhone and it loads up in 4 seconds flat. But 2 years later, it slowed down a little bit and now it takes 6 seconds. And you're like, stupid phone, I need a new phone, right? Well, it took 10 minutes to get Windows to load up on my first computer. Here's where the story got really frustrating, really annoying. Dad said yes to the computer, but then he followed it up with, if you pay for it. Anyone else's parents like that? You know, it's like, bro, you are flipping rich. You pay for my computer. But Dad's like, no, you pay for it. Joel had to pay $400, and I had to pay $400. And see, I thought it was going to be easy to get this computer, but my dad made it hard for us. He made it harder for us. So I went and started my own small business illegally as an underage worker. And I started my own car washing and lawn mowing business in Tatura. I put up flyers in everyone's mailboxes. I didn't even care if it's illegal to touch a mailbox or not. I'd blown some up before, so it was time to use them for something holy, right? And so anyway, did I just admit that live? Anyway, hi West Campus, don't tell anyone. And so I put flyers in all the mailboxes in town, and I put them up in all the stores around town, all three of the stores around town. And the phone started to ring, right? My dad's phone, the home phone, it started to ring. There were no mobile phones. It was a home phone. It started to ring. See, when I first started doing this, I started charging like $4 a car. And then I'm like, man, demand has gone up, and I'm busy. I don't have time for it. I'm going to start charging 10. So I started getting 10 bucks a car. Come on. And then when I was mowing lawns, at first I was charging $10 to mow the lawns, but that's when I was providing the mower and the petrol or gasoline, all right? And so then I realized, why am I providing the mower? Why am I providing the gas? Y'all have a mower, y'all have some gas, all right? So I started saying, it's $18 if I provide the mower and the gas, or $10 if you do. After about 6 weeks, you better believe I had enough money to buy that computer without my brother's help and a new bike, right? Like, that was when I learned to work. I got the computer. I enjoyed it. It seemed to make my life more fun and so made my life better. But getting the computer wasn't easy. Now, it blessed me, but it wasn't easy, right? To this day, I'm so glad that my dad made me pay for that computer. I'm so glad that my dad made my life a little bit harder on that day, yeah? I learned the value of hard work. I learned that you can make money. Anyone can figure out a way to make money. And since that day, there hasn't been a week of my life that I haven't had a job. Since that day, not a week of my life. And I've been buying things ever since. Come on. I've been saving up for things ever since. But that's the day that my dad made my life harder. He made my life harder. But better. But he made my life better. And when you read through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, you can't help but realize that Jesus didn't come to make your life easier. Anyone? Come on. Anyone? Y'all like, this is a nice, yeah, it is. But Jesus, when you read that, right, you can't help but realize Jesus did not come to make your life easier, amen? But let me promise you this, he comes and makes your life better, amen? So listen to this, right? He takes a bunch of commonly said and commonly accepted and understood things of the day and makes them harder than they were before the Sermon on the Mount, right? Check it out. He says, you've heard it said, do not murder. And the disciples, they're all like, yeah, murder sucks. Don't do that. Jesus is about to agree with that, right? And then Jesus goes, but I tell you, don't even intentionally insult people. Imagine being the disciples, right? And Jesus is like, don't murder and don't insult people. And you've been thinking for years that this Messiah, that this Savior is coming to save Israel, to set them free from the Roman overlords, to rebuild the temple, to destroy the enemy. And here he is telling them, quit insulting people. So far, he hasn't spent any time dealing with the Romans. All he's done is go after the Pharisees and the Sadducees and religious overlords, and now he's bothering them with, hey, I know those people hate you, but stop insulting them. They'd be like, is this cat for real? They are killing us, and he wants us to quit saying mean things. Then Jesus goes on, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. They're like, yeah, not good for your marriage. And then Jesus says, but I tell you, don't even look at someone lustfully. If you look at someone lustfully, you've got adultery in your heart. They're like, bro, come on, man. You made them. I'm just appreciating them. All right? People out there are cheating on their husbands and wives, and you're worried about what my eyes are looking at. We done yet, man? And then he goes, you've heard it said, don't break an oath. But I tell you, don't even make an oath. Simply say, yes, I'll do that. No, I won't do that. And if you say yes, do it. And if you say no, don't do it. Let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. He's not making it easier. He's not, is he? Right, some of you are like, I don't even know if I can amen this. This sounds like we're getting borderline heretic right here. Like, he's saying Jesus is making things harder for us. Yeah, listen, imagine being one of these disciples. Then he says, you've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They're like, yeah, if someone punches you, knock them out. And then Jesus goes, but I tell you, if someone slaps you, let them slap you again. If someone forces you to walk 1 mile with them carrying the soldier's armor, choose to walk too with a happy disposition. No, they're like, Jesus, come on, bro. You said I thought, sorry, you were coming to make my life easier. There ain't nothing easier about being extra. There ain't nothing easy about being generous. There ain't nothing easy about getting smacked on both sides of my face. Come on. It's hard enough walking 1 mile carrying a soldier's armor. Now you want me to go further? Now you want me to do two? And then we get to today's text. And honestly, this is perhaps the most unreasonable thing Jesus ever said. And that's coming from the guy who said, eat my flesh, drink my blood, right? Like, come on, symbolically, FYI, right? Read your Bible, get that in context. Don't be a vampire, all right? Like, come on. This is unreasonable by any stroke of a feather. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy. Love your enemy. I can imagine the disciples getting together and being like, man, this cat has lost his mind. None of what he just said has made my life easier. None of it. None of it. None of it. Some of y'all are in here still looking at me like I'm a heretic. Y'all like, you're telling me that? Come on. Listen, it ain't, none of that is easy. Not one bit of it. Love ain't easy. Love isn't easy. It sounds gooey and nice and mushy, but it's not easy. Just like when my dad made me do the work, it has blessed my life every day and still today. Everything Jesus is telling us here in this Sermon of the Mount, though harder, is 100% guaranteed to bring you blessing, bring you favor, bring you hope. Flood your life with what Jesus calls an abundant life, a full life, an overflowing life, a blessed life. Amen. So today we're going to spend the next 20 minutes talking about something that's not easy, but something that, and something that we don't naturally want to do, but the more we hang out with God, a couple of weeks ago, what's God? God is love. God is love. Come on, God is love. That's right, God is love. The more we hang out with God, real love, genuine love, the more we get in His presence and hang out with the people of God, the more you'll want to do it, the better you'll get at it, and the easier it will get. Come on. Honestly, it is kind of fun to watch the confusion on someone's face when they punch you and you buy them a coffee. Isn't it funny, when Jesus told us to love our neighbors, the disciples are, love our, that almost sounded like navels, right? Like, anyway. When Jesus told us to love our neighbors, the disciples were like, who's our neighbor? But when he said, love your enemies, no one was like, who's my enemy? They're like, yeah, I get that. Like, I know what that is, right? Like, everybody knows what that is. The people that make your life worse, the people who oppress you, the people who insult you. And see, when Jesus spoke these words to the people he spoke them to, they immediately knew what it meant to have an enemy. The Romans were lording it over them, kidnapping them, torturing them, sometimes even killing them, right? They knew what it was like to have someone that they hate. They knew what it was like to have somebody they wish was dead. They knew what it was like to have somebody they wish was gone. Come on. They knew what it was like. But that's not the only people they thought of. They also thought of the Samaritans, who they considered dirty. They also thought of the Egyptians who enslaved them, the Roman neighbors they had who thought that they were better than them, the tax collectors that robbed them. They thought of the soldiers who mocked them. See, it's not only unreasonable to us today, but this seemed unreasonable when he said it. Nothing about that sermon made their lives easier. And honestly, it was as nonsensical then as it might seem to somebody now. But the more you hang out with Jesus, the more you become like him, the more you worship him, the less nonsensical it seems. When you first get saved, you're like, wait, what? Kind of like tithing. Wait, what? But the more you hang out with him, the more you get to know his heart, the more you spend time with him, you're like, that seems like something he would say. And so now again, the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't bring it to make your life easier. He brought it to make your life better. Amen. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We're really good at making enemies, though, aren't we? Like, we are, yeah? Like, we can make enemies over the dumbest things, you know? Like, the smallest things, we can make an enemy of them, you know? We let the craziest things absolutely tick us off, don't we? Now, I'm not belittling anyone's pet peeves in here, right? Sometimes I'm driving down the highway and I want to stab people too, all right? Come on. Like I know what it's like to be mad on the interstate, okay? Come on. Right, I'm not picking on anybody, but I put a thing on Facebook asking people what their pet peeves were, and it was rather vicious, but a lot of fun. So I have like 100 comments of things that tick everybody off. And I did put a disclaimer. I commented in there and said, my apologies if you didn't want this in a sermon. Because it's about to be. What are your pet peeves? Listen to this, right? We've got chewing gum. We've also got chewing. Just chewing. Just chewing. Chewing ticks this person off, right? Like, they turn into a murderer when people are chewing, right? Like, you chew near them, you're an enemy, and they want you to be punished, right? Like, chewing. Quit chewing, everybody, right? Gum popping, leaving cupboard doors open, leaving the lid on the toilet. Let's talk about that for a second, right? Why do the women have to win that? Men are ticked off when you come in and it's down, all right? Like, seriously, like, leave the seat up, leave the seat down, right? Half the population wants it one way, half the population wants it the other way. Get over it if it ain't your way and spend the 3 seconds changing it. Just saying. My wife's going to cut me after this. Nail clipping in the office. Who's doing that? Who's clipping? Do it in the parking lot. Do it at home. Do it somewhere else. In the office? You know that person's a serial killer. Every time they put someone on America's Most Wanted, they say, and 3 months ago they were clipping nails in the office. Every time. Driving slowly. In any lane. Driving slowly. Listen, the next one is driving fast. Somebody wrote, when people blow the wind off the cars on the merge lane, they clearly were next to me yesterday. I'm like, that thing is like a quarter mile long, that on-ramp. It's not a quarter mile long, so once you get on the interstate, you can start speeding up. It's so when you merge, you're already going the right speed. Come on. Setting the alarm 20 times and hitting snooze every time. Set it for a later time. Stop interrupting my sleep. There's a really angry wife in here. I hope her husband's on Facebook. People who don't stick to sidewalk rules. Did you know that there was those? There's sidewalk rules. And if you don't obey them, Valerie's going to cut you. Right? You better Google what the rules are, right? Like, we've got some stupid things that get us really angry, right? Like, really angry. Like, over the top angry. The other day, I was sitting in one my favorite cafe, working on this sermon. There was a guy at the table right next to me coughing up his freaking lungs. Number one, bro, you're clearly sick. Get away from me. Number two, he wasn't covering his mouth. Like, I don't mean he was like, like, sometimes my kids cover their mouth like this, or they do the fist thing. Like, all you did was just put a diversion, so it now goes two directions. This is not covering your mouth, kids, all right? That's just splitting it so everybody gets to share what you got, all right? Like, this is covering your mouth. Or this, right? Just cover the... Anyway, he wasn't doing nothing. Not even a courtesy cover to think like maybe he likes people. I had a 5-minute conversation in my head. I know. I knew it 100% that he was the first Iowan in the world with coronavirus. Oh, I knew it. I didn't need a doctor. We don't need a test. I will diagnose him right now. So I'm having a chat with myself in my head, deciding whether or not to kindly, calmly, and softly walk over there and say, cover your flipping mouth, you moron! I didn't do it. Listen, I didn't do it, all right? I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I know someone in this room is going to be like, that's the pastor. They're going to get on Facebook and they're going to put a review on our church about how the pastor's a jerk. So I didn't do it. This is as I'm reading. No, this isn't after. This isn't before. This is as I'm reading. Jesus saying, love your enemies. And in my head, I'd made this guy an enemy. And I wanted him to know it. And after a couple of minutes, you know when the Holy Ghost is like, hey, dopey. He's like, hey, how's that loving your enemies sermon thing you're preaching on going this week, bro? So I stopped. I stopped and I prayed for him, just like Jesus told me to do, because he was persecuting me with the coronavirus. And so I'm like, pray for those who persecute you. Love your neighbors and your enemies. So I start loving my enemy, right? How do you love your enemy? How do you love anybody? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, God was so kind as to let us know what love is. And honestly, it's an annoying scripture. Like, it is. Like, there's some things in there, and I've never read that and been like, nailed that this week. Like, never, right? Like, I'm getting better, and I want to, and I'm trying, and I'm asking for God's help, who is love, to help me be love, right? Romans, as I read it, I'm thinking there's not 1 ounce of any of this in how I was responding to virus guy, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. Well, I didn't envy what he had. Ticked one. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. He wants me to do that with my enemies? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. This is getting weird, isn't it, when you're thinking about loving your enemies? It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love never fails. Anyone else, when you read this on a good day, like you read it on a good day, you know, not the day you're sitting next to virus guy, but just a good day, right? And you're reading it and you're like, I'm a lover, not a hater. I got this. Love is patient. You're like, tick. Love is kind. Tick. Doesn't envy. Tick. Not boastful. Tick. Not proud. Most days. Tick. Then it starts getting a little tougher, right? Doesn't dishonor. You're like, Not easily angered. It doesn't say never angry, right? God is slow to anger. I want to be slow to anger, right? When I blow my lid, I want it to be because somebody is doing something very, very bad, right? Like not easily angered, does not delight in evil, rejoices with the truth. And then God drops a bomb on us. He says, love hopes. Like we're thinking about our enemies right now, right? Not your wife, not your husband, right? Love hopes, perseveres, protects. It never fails, or in other words, it won't quit. Yeah, now all you people who were judging me at the start of the sermon for saying that Jesus was being unreasonable, now y'all are like, hope that my enemies prosper, hope and persevere in blessing them and praying for them, protect my enemies. When others are going after them and attacking them, well, I'm supposed to say, stop saying that about them. Don't talk about them like that. What? No, I want to join them. And be like, yeah, did you hear what they said? Did you see what they did? Right? Like, honestly, let's honestly now, right? Like, my inclination is not to stop the bad things people are saying about them, because if that keeps happening enough, they will go down and I will be the victor. But love protects. Now you're all sitting there going, that was a little unreasonable of Jesus to say that. Because when you've gone through heartache, when you've been betrayed and someone has hurt you, or you've been divorced, you know this is not easy. But we're not going to let other people dictate the rules of how we love, are we? You know what? I want to be like St. Valentine, who prayed for his jailers and asked God to help him love them. When St. Valentine was locked up and tortured and eventually beheaded, he led the jailer's daughter to healing in Jesus' name. That's loving your enemies. That's loving your enemies. She was blind as a bat, right? Blind. And now she can see. She could see so much that now she could see the note that he wrote and signed, "Your Valentine." We've made Valentine's Day about loving those we already love and loving those who love us. But really, Valentine's Day, if we want to emulate what St. Valentine did, should be about loving people who hate us, who torture us, and are about to behead us. That's what Valentine's Day's about, my friends. Come on. Hey, who of you, by loving someone who already loves you, does anything more than the IRS or the pagans? We've been called to love when it hurts. We need to protect our hearts from lazy Christianity that allows us to hate, that allows us to humiliate, that allows us to discriminate, that allows us to dishonor people who disagree with us, people who hurt us, people who have persecuted us, people who put up political signs in their yards next to yours, right an inch from your line. People who vote different than us. People who drive different than us. People who think different than us. People who do different than us. Hey, I'm not saying that what everybody's doing in the world is right. I'm not saying that. But this scripture didn't come with a clause that said, love your enemies if they agree with you. If they agreed with you, they wouldn't be your enemies. You can't love an enemy that agrees with you. They don't. Come on. Lazy Christianity won't help us, won't help you, won't help our church. It will hurt you, hurt us, and hurt our church. If the old saying, it's a cliche, but it's so true. If we allow ourselves to hang on to hate and bitterness, it's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Love ain't always easy. But love will never fail to bless you. You. When it said love never fails, not only will it never fail them, it'll never fail you. The giver of love will never fail to be blessed. The giver of love will never fail to find favor, to find healing, to find freedom. Amen. When you love someone that doesn't love you, you're loving like Jesus. When he came and died on a cross for people who hated him and people who still hate him, God loves people who hate him. God loves people who disobey him. God loves people who hurt him. Come on, when we love like that, it's powerful. It's so godly. Then he died on a cross for people who hate him. He was buried and he got up and he ran out of that grave. Some of us today have been living in a grave of hatred, in a grave of bitterness. And God has sent me here today to share this message with you that it's time to get up and run out of that grave, to run away from that hatred, that discrimination, that brokenness, that hurt, that bitterness. You got to get up and run away in Jesus' name. We're not going to live bound to that garbage. You think because the devil has tricked you, because the world believes that we need to other people, that we need to enemy people. The whole world thinks if someone disagrees with you, if someone doesn't think like you, vote like you, talk like you, that they're the enemy. Well, maybe they are, but love them anyway. I don't care if I'm someone's enemy, if they're treating their enemies the way Jesus told them to treat their enemies. Amen. Come on, that was good preaching, Jesse. I'm just saying. You know who else I love to love? People everyone else hates. Yeah. Like, I'm not even kidding. It's not even something I just love. It's like the more I've spent time in the presence of God, the more my heart becomes like His. And when I see somebody being hated by everybody, my heart breaks. Even the person that brought it on themselves. When I see someone in the media being destroyed, and I know they're reporting, and I've got no problem with reporting. They're just reporting, here's what happened. And then the whole social media world goes on and says things like, I hope they burn in hell. I'm like, I hope they raise to life. Come on. I start praying for them. My heart breaks for them. I've even reached out to people to buy them coffees or lunches and let them know that while the whole world hates them right now, I love you. I want to close with one last story for you. Because some of us are letting hate rob us of favor. It's almost similar a little bit to last week's message in one way, that it's on the other side of all this stuff that you're going to find your miracle, amen? We're letting all this other garbage get in the way and block us. We've been operating how the world operates, but we're kingdom people, right? We are citizens of heaven first and foremost, and the United States or Australia or Mexico or wherever you're from or Canada, like with a second. First, we want to operate like citizens of the kingdom of heaven, amen? We're going to stop letting the way they operate infiltrate the way we operate, amen? So I want to share a story with you so that you can get out of this grave and find favor in Jesus' name. One of my closest friends in the ministry, who really is a great friend, a huge blessing to my life for many years, even now, prays for me, loves me, is someone I hated. Someone I hated. Like just felt abused by, hurt by, betrayed by. I hated him. He thought I was a loser, and I thought he was an arrogant turd. It's just the truth. He doesn't live here, by the way. He lives somewhere else. Now, mind you, at the time I was dating his sister, so it's kind of fair enough that he hated me. But like, I'm awesome. Or so I thought. I was at Hillsong Conference in Sydney one year and I saw him about 12 rows in front of me. And he was teasing me and he was talking about me and he was mocking me. Or so I assumed when I couldn't even see his face. Y'all know that, right? Like, 9 times out of 10, everything you think people are saying, they haven't even thought about you. Like, they're like, wait, what? You're still here? You know? Like, I just assumed it. So I was mad. I'm like, this guy's an idiot. He's a moron. And he honestly probably didn't even know I was there, 12 rows behind him in a crowd of 15,000 people. But at that moment, I was just having an argument. I was preparing the fight. Anyone else do that? Just prepare the fight in your head. You haven't even ran into that person in 15 years, but you saw on Facebook they're within 700 miles of you today. So you're just thinking, there's a good chance I'm going to run into that person. So you're preparing the fight, right? And you're coming up with the one line, right? You need that one line that will end them, right? Like when you're skinny and weak like me, you need one good line. You need to give it and run, right? And he's a lot bigger than me. So I was coming up with my one good line that I could give him, cut him and run, right? And in that moment, another Holy Spirit moment. Jesse, pray for him or you're going to miss out. Now, I thought the Holy Spirit was telling me I'm going to miss out on what's about to happen at Hillsong. I thought the Holy Spirit was telling me, Jesse, pray for him or you're going to miss out on this great worship experience while you're distracted by hatred. I thought he was telling me, Jesse, pray for him or you're going to miss out on a great word from God that Brian Houston is about to bring. It wasn't easy, and it's never been easy to love my enemies. It's never been easy. But praying for him was the first step. And that changed everything. Eventually, my heart started to soften toward him. A little bit softer every time. Started praying for him every day. There was some other drama that went on between us that made it like this, by the way. And so, just heart started to soften. And over the years, over a couple of years, we actually became really good friends. God's working on his heart, God's working on my heart. But I can honestly tell you that right now, if not for that one friend, I wouldn't be here today. Not metaphorically, I wouldn't have learned that lesson, been able to preach this sermon. No, I wouldn't be in Iowa. See, that friend moved to Iowa before I ever did. He's the one who made all the connections that made us moving to Iowa possible. He's the one who connected me to Heath. Heath's the one who helped me connect with this opportunity. And right now, my friend Pastor Luke, not that Luke, because honestly, this Luke here, no one hates him. And if you do, you know it's your fault, right? Like, if you don't like this guy, it's on you. I'm just saying, all right? He's like half an inch from Jesus' holiness, that guy. But right now, Pastor Luke, my other friend who pastors a church with 5 or 6 campuses, we've helped each other through hard times. I've helped him. He's helped me. He's one of my best friends. Why am I telling you that story? I'm saying if I didn't love an enemy, whether they're a huge enemy who's hurt me or just a little thing they've done to me, if I didn't love my enemies, my entire life would look different. My wife and kids wouldn't be living in the favor that we're living in. I wonder what you're missing out on. I wonder what you're missing out on. I guarantee some of us need to come down the front for prayer and literally run out of the grave. But I guarantee every single one of us in this room is talking about someone, thinking about someone, hoping wrong about someone that we shouldn't be. Every one of us right now is presented with an opportunity to step out of that negative arena and step into favor. Because I promise you, as you start praying for your enemies, praying for those who persecute you, and sending love, you will find favor in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise if you received that word today? Come on, give him a shout of praise. You're praising right now, and you're praising God for a breakthrough to get some of that in that area of your life. Amen. Oh, cool. I can preach for another 20 minutes. I'm just kidding. After a while, it's going to get easier. You'll still have highway moments and coffee shop moments and moments where you wave with the wrong finger. You might still have some of those moments. But we're praying they get fewer, further between. Amen? Fewer. Hey, we're not asking you to act perfect. It's the desire to become perfect. It's the desire to be like Christ that makes you perfect in God's eyes. Amen? Amen? That's what does it. So you're still going to mess up, but God's going to still see you as perfect. It's called imputed righteousness. It means that just the desire has made you righteous. Amen. And so just keep it up. In a moment, we're going to open the front for prayer. Before that, we're going to have Pastor Connor come and share the offering word. But before she does that, I want to talk to the people in here who want to give their lives to Jesus Christ. He did come to make your life better. He did. Giving your life to Christ, it's kind of like getting a job. Because it's not easier, but it's so much better. See, having a job's not easier than binge-watching Netflix every day at home on your mama's couch. Having a job's not easier than that. But getting paid $100,000 a year is a heck of a lot better than that. Can someone say amen, right? Giving your life to Christ is like that. It's not easier, but your life's going to be 1,000 times better. 100,000 times better, 1,000,000 times better. And every day it gets better and better and better and better and better. He wants to help you step out of the grave, out of the hatred, out of the bitterness, out of the pain and the hurt of your past, things people did to you, maybe things you did yourself. He wants you to find freedom and set you up to live the blessed life that He designed for you. See, God knew that some people would be confused about how good God is. They would start saying dumb things like, God's going to hurt you. And so He wrote in Jeremiah, my plans are to bless you, prosper you, give you a future full of hope, full of favor. And then to clarify, He says, and not to ever harm you. So I'm asking you right now to give your life to Jesus Christ. Step out of that stuff. Step into favor. Step into hope. Step into prosperity. Step into healing. Step into a blessed life. Amen. So I'm going to pray a prayer one line at a time. I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. This is how you give your life to Christ. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So I want you to pray this prayer with me right now and give your life to Jesus Christ with me right here. We're all going to pray it together, everyone in the room, so you won't be alone. We're all going to pray it together. So everyone, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, favor, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you, help me live it the way you designed it, blessed, full of favor, extra special, and just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord in here. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.